Do you have reason to rejoice this Christmas that you are a child of God? Do you love the Lord Jesus as you did at first when you came to faith? Now that may be a different challenge. Sometimes we're bruised by life, by disappointments, by things that have come over us, by storms of life. And sometimes we tend to lose our song. And even in Christmas time, Satan does everything he can to rob us of the joy of Christmas, of the joy of Jesus being born, this message that is above all other messages. Jesus came to begin a revolution. Not a revolution in the world like many leaders have in the past, where a lot of bloodshed happened and one kingdom conquered other kingdoms. None of that. Jesus came to change everything, to transform people from the inside out, and no other power can do that. The old covenant was not enough, and the old covenant was phasing out. And when the time was ripe, just at the right time, the Bible says God sent his son into this world to start a revolution. A man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee. And he said, "My master, we know that you must have God on your side, because the things that you do are impossible to do without God. I mean, you got to have God on your side. We observe that. We know that." What Nicodemus didn't say was, "We just don't know what to do with you. We don't know where you fit in to our religious life and our daily life." In other words, Nicodemus said, "I don't know how to fit in your realm, in your presence, in what you preach." Jesus said, "It's very simple." Not easy, but very simple. "I'm telling you," he said, "old Nick, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you cannot get into the kingdom of God. If you want to get into the kingdom of God, you have to have a transformation inside. You have to join the revolution of being born again. That's the revolution. Born again people, born again believers." Nicodemus understands that what Jesus is doing is impossible unless God is with him, and he is nervous. He's concerned. And he said to Jesus, "Well, you can't, how is this possible?" He tried to rationalize. And you know, once you start to rationalize everything, you lose track of what Jesus really is trying to convey to us. He says, "How can a grown person be born again? That's impossible." He talked about the physical aspects of birth. And Jesus explains it too in words that he cannot understand. But then in verse 16, Jesus underlines the whole concept of this new revolution. The new revolution is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting, eternal life." That's the revolution, through love. And that's the message of Christmas. There's no better one. There's no other message that can be replaced with this one. This is it. A revolution through love. That love is to be so powerful that it overpowers people. That love fills people. Where hatred was there, where bitterness was there, where unforgiveness was there, all of that out and replaced by love, peace, and joy. That is a revolution. That is a transformation. It's beyond description. It's got to be experienced. This was entirely a different concept than what people were used to up to that point. Generations had grown up and lived full lives. They died wondering about God's loving kindness. The Pharisees were focused on performing rituals, offering sacrifices, and tried to live so-called righteous lives, and many of that turned into self-righteousness. And they felt they were falling short. And I think a lot of people in Jesus' time, after Jesus was born, after he started teaching, they were confused. And the Bible describes them as lost sheep that had no shepherd. They were starving. They were confused because their expectations did not come true. And all these centuries later, our society is falling into the same trap. And many people try to earn salvation. They try to outweigh the bad works with the good works and say, well, you know, my good works, they definitely outweigh the bad ones. No. Jesus comes with a new revolution and says, put all of that aside. Trust in me and my love. And be filled with my love, and you'll get it. You'll be changed forever. There's no other motive. Think of this. There's no other motive for Jesus to come into this world than the motive that God so loved the world, he had such a heart for you and me, that he gave his one and only Son to come to this world, into this dark, sinful, rebellious world, so that he would become the sacrifice that would redeem us, so that you and I could become sons and daughters of God. No other reason. God has no mysterious motive of loving us. He has no trick up his sleeve trying to trick us into believing that he loves us and then bam, no. He simply loves us with the purest, most perfect, and complete love you could even dream of. And if you're here this morning, let me get this message across to you. God loves you with that pure love, personally, individually. He knows every thought and every fear and every anxiety that you may have, but he loves you. That's the revolution Jesus came to fulfill. The only motive was his love. No other hidden motives. Nothing for himself. He knew that he was in glory. He had all this wonderful, this bliss in heaven. And his love for us was so great that he decided he wanted to share that bliss with us, with a fallen generation, a sinful nature. He wants to save you and me through Jesus Christ and bring us to where he is. There's another thought in this text, and that is this revolution Jesus came to establish would be no more condemnation. Let's go on to read here. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Often people think, isn't it time for God's judgment? Isn't it time that God would strike people dead? Isn't it time that God would let all kinds of calamities come over people and judge people and condemn people to hell forever and ever? Not yet. We still live in a time of grace. God didn't send Jesus to come into the world to condemn you or to condemn me for what we have done in the past, but to save us and keep us saved. That's the simple message of the gospel. We need to be refreshed in our memories, in our hearts. Our tendency is to judge and to be negative. But Jesus had come to save the world. I remember the disciples, you know, James and John, when the Samaritans didn't accept Jesus. They said to Jesus, Lord, here's time to be an Elijah. Here's time to take a stand. Here's time to let judgment come. Let fire fall from heaven and devour these hardened, evil people. They wanted to see judgment because they were rejecting Jesus. See, sometimes we, even as Christians, as believers, we're caught up into this judgmentalism. And before we know it, we are condemning other people. Don't. Because Jesus didn't condemn us. So he says to James and John, don't you know what spirit is in you? Don't you know the spirit of Christ? Don't you know that I didn't come to condemn and judge and kill people? How many people did Jesus kill in his lifetime? Zero. He raised people from the dead. He brought them to life. A new revolution. That is Christmas. Jesus didn't come to destroy people. He came to save them. Yes, he brought the truth, but the truth was not accepted. And so that's why they crucified him, but he allowed them to do it. I have to go on. The opposite of condemnation is being saved, being healed, and being delivered. You say, well, Pastor, you don't say that, but you think that. Yeah, well, Pastor, you don't know all the things that go on in my heart, in my life. If you knew, you wouldn't even say this. It's good. I don't need to know. But one thing is, Jesus knows you much better than you know yourself. Jesus knows me much better than I know myself. And yet, he doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to miss the mark. He doesn't want you and me to miss the goal of being with him forever and ever. That's why he's patient with us. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be delivered. He wants us to live a godly life to his glory and honor. And that strength, that grace, only comes from him, not from us. And that's the opposite of condemnation. The Father God sent Jesus in love to make us whole, to set us free from sin and addictions, to deliver us from darkness. This is why John says we're no longer living and walking in darkness, but in light. And that's the revolution, the third part I want to emphasize here, that is that we get to live in his light. After being set free, you and I are now privileged to walk and live in the light of Jesus Christ. Love is not an excuse to live however we want. The love for Jesus is exactly to live how it pleases him in his light. He illuminates everything. And if we fail, if we stumble, that he shows us, but he is there to help us up again. He does not want us to go astray, by no means. So we are now called to be children of light. In closing, I want to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. This is what we are when we live in the light. We embrace the truth. We embrace His love. We embrace His grace. And we walk in that grace. Loved ones, we are, if you are a believer, you are a person of grace. Now think about that in these holiday days or however long you're off at home. I am a person of grace because I believe in Jesus Christ. So we need to meet all people with a sense of grace. Since we have been saved and are children of light, we should set our lives to finding out what pleases God and then be a blessing to others, and let our light shine, spreading this light that God has brought to us through Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility. Go into all the world and preach the gospel as long as there's time. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages, is the promise of the Messiah. I hope I have given us a few things to think about and pray that God will give you, all of us, a richly blessed Christmas celebration. Let's stand. And before we pray, let's stand for prayer.